Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir Mandaf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Etchel, and we're now beginning the final parak of Masachet Sotah, Parak Chi'i. Today we're going to study Mishnah Aleph and the first part of Mishnah Bet and their attendant Gemarot, and then the rest of Mishnah Bet. Egla Arufa B'Lashon HaKodesh. All right, this goes back to Mishnah Bet and Parak Zion that listed Egla Arufa, and I'll detail that in a second. As a ceremony that must be recited in Lashon HaKodesh. Egla Arufa, as we will see forthwith, is a particular ceremony to be held when a homicide victim is found outside of town, and we don't know who killed him, and there's an entire process where we measure to find the closest town. I put the entire parsha, which is Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Aleph through Pasuk Tet, of Sefer Devarim, on top of the regular set of Psukim, so we can refer to it in our study. Egla Arufa B'Lashon HaKodesh, Shenemar, Ki Yimatzeh Chalal Ba'Adama, Asher Adonai Levachem Ten Lachal Rishta, Ve'Lonu Dam Hikav, Yatzuz Kenecha V'Shoftecha, etc. Now, how this proves that it's Lashon HaKodesh is a little unclear, the Gemara will fill the gap. In any case, Ve'Yatzuz Kenecha V'Shoftecha, your elders must go out, your elders and judges must go out and measure to find the closest city. It's not the elders of the closest city, because we have to identify who that is. Shtosham Beitin HaGadol Shirushalayim HaYotzin. That's, we'll find out Rabbi Shimon's opinion, that you need three elders of the Sanhedrin who would come out to measure to find which is the closest city. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chamisha. He disagrees, says you need five. Shenemar Zekinecha Shnayim. Vishoftecha Shnayim. Because it says Zekinecha Vishoftecha. Both are plural. Therefore you need four. Vein Beitin Shakumos. If you don't know the Erechad, Beitin can never be an even number because of the obvious problem of a tie vote. And therefore, we add a fifth, even though here there isn't really an adjudication going on, but there's just the presence of them as a formal ceremony. Nonetheless, the halacha is beitim always must be an odd number, so you can't have four, we must have five. Now, this is now Mishtabatim, if the body was found buried under a pile or rocks or hanging from a tree or floating on water, lohayu orfin, then the ceremony does not take place. Literally, they would not break the neck of the calf, which is the ceremony, which we'll get to in the next podcast. Shenemar ba'adama, because the text says, if you find him ba'adama v'lo tamun bagal, meaning on the ground, not underneath the ground. We'll see a little bit about that further on, a lot about that. Nofel v'lo talui bilan, he has to be fallen, not hanging from a tree, ba'sadeh, in the field, v'lo tzafo p'nei mayim, and not floating on the water. Now, in Sas Samuch Lisfar, if he's found close to the border, or the Irsha Ubav de Kochavim, or the closest city is a city which majority are not Jews, or the Irsha Inva Beitin, or closest to a city that has no Beitin, lo yu orfin, the ceremony does not take place, and subsequently, Ein Modin El Irsha Ishba Beitin, you only measure between cities that have a Beitin to find out which is the closest. But if he's right next to a city that has no Beitin, then the ceremony doesn't take place. All right, let's put all of this together. First thing is Mike Amar. As I mentioned, the proof text for the fact that Egla Arufa has to be Lashon HaKodesh is a little unclear in the presentation of the Mishnah. So Amar Avavah, Hachikamah, this is how it should read. Shenemar V'anu V'amru. As you see in the ceremony, it says V'anu V'amru Yadeinu Lo Shafchu Et Adam Hazeh. And this is something that we saw throughout Perek Zayin, Perek Chet, Aniyav Amira. Maniyah Hamura Lahalan B'Lashon HaKodesh, Afkan B'Lashon HaKodesh, we've had this several times, V'anita V'yamarta, V'anu V'yamru, etc., always refers to Lashon HaKodesh. Now, V'seder Egla Arufa Ketzad, and then the next part of the mission is to say, how does the ceremony go? So in other words, what Rabbi Avahu is doing is parsing the Mishnah, adding in the piece that is not mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah, which is the bridge between the text and the fact that it's Lashon HaKodesh, and then picking up where the Mishnah, sort of the gap, which says what the Mishnah is actually teaching, which is that there are three elders, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Chamisha, etc. Now, Tana Rabbanan, we'll see a braita that explicates this issue of 3 versus 5 and the arguments associated with it. Exactly as the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, I told you that the Tana Kama is Rabbi Shimon, Zekenecha Shnaim. It says your elders go out, that's two. You can't have an even number, you add one, that's three. Rabbi Shimon Nami Hakti Vishoftecha, so what's Rabbi Shimon going to do with the word Vishoftecha, which would indicate another two? To tell you, they have to be among the elite of the judges, meaning the members of the Sanhedrin. Rabbi Yehuda says, I already know that. Alright, nafka. In other words, the fact that it doesn't say zikne, but rather zikenecha, your elders, already tells me they have to be of the elite. Rabbi Shimon says, ikat rahmana zikne, the Torah could not have written zikne. Havmeina afilu zikne hashuk, I would have thought just old people. Katav Rahman is a kenecha, therefore it says your elders, meaning members of the Beit Din, but I still don't know that they are the Beit Din HaGadol until it says v'shoftecha. Katav Rahman is a kenecha, if it only said zekenecha, filu Sanhedrin Tana, I would have thought from a lower Sanhedrin, Katav Rahman v'shoftecha, miyuchadim v'shoftecha, they have to be members of the Beit Din HaGadol. But that doesn't tell me that I need to have five, and it's an extra two. Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda do with that? Gamar ziknei ziknei mi ziknei ha'idah. Ziknei ha'idah in the parsha of Yehorayot, of an improper Horah, it specifically refers to ziknei ha'idah, and therefore every time you say ziknei, you know it's members of the Sanhedrin. Zekenecha, therefore, adds another two. Just like over there, it's only the Sanhedrin ha'gdolah. Similarly here. So, igamar ligmar l'chol emilta mihatam. So, if that's the case, why don't you learn from there? Zekenecha shavtecha lamali. So, just say zikenei, and then I'll already know that I have to have them from the Sanhedrin. And by the way, Rabbi Yehuda, and this is an important point, in Sanhedrin, holds that the minimum Beit Din is five. So, I learned it from there also. I can learn five. I don't need zekenecha v'shavtecha to give it to me. Alavav de v'shavtecha l'inyana. The answer is Rabbi Yehuda says that he doesn't have ziknei ziknei, but rather the vav of a shoftecha is to tell me, okay, shoftecha, I agree with you, as miuchadin, and the vav is there to tell me another two, meaning shoftecha is also an additional two. Rabbi Shimon, vav lo mashpala, he says the vav is just inconsequential and does not count for that. Okay, elameat, if that's the case, then if you're going to look at every phrase in the pasuk, and every time there's a plural, add another two, viatsu, shnaim, madudu, shnaim. So it says they shall go out, that's another two, it's in the plural, they shall measure, that's another two. So Bihura Harikan Tishav, Bishimon Harikan Shiva. If they both agree that the mentions of individuals in the text, in the plural, mean another two, so Bihura should demand nine, or Shimon should demand seven. So the answer is no. Umviatsu madadu are needed for themselves. Ahum Baile the Khritanyu are needed for the following right of Yatsu, Hein Veloshtuche, and they have to go out, they can't send agents. What's that? Shafilin Sam Be'alil La'ir Hayumodadin. Even if it's explicitly and clearly right there next to a city, you still have to measure Madadu. There is a mitzvah of Medida. Shvitzvah La'sok Be'Medida. There's a mitzvah for them to participate in the mitzvah or engage in the mitzvah of measuring. Even if it's abundantly clear which is the closest city. Now, parenthetically, Matnitin de lo korba Elazar ben Yaakov. Our Mishnah does not follow Elazar ben Yaakov. Tanu Elazar ben Yaakov omer zekinecha zu Sanhedrin. He says zekinecha refers to the Sanhedrin. Shoftecha z melech mekohen gadol. Shoftecha is a reference to the king and to the kohen gadol. Melech tichti melech b'mishpat yamid eretz. The king rules the land through mishpat. The Shofet is juxtaposed to the Kohanim in the Parsha of the Beit Din HaGadol in Parsha Shoftim. So therefore, Shoftecha is a reference to those special people who hold high offices who are considered associated with judges, the king and the Kohen Gadol. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says you need the Melech and the Kohen Gadol to participate in his measuring. Does he only disagree about that? It was Sanhedrin, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Sfirale, but he agrees that you either need three or five, like Rabbi Shimon. Maybe he disagrees with them on everything. Maybe he thinks the whole Sanhedrin has to come out, plus the Melech, plus the Kohen Gadol. Let's see if we can figure it out. Rabbi Yosef, Toshma. We find it from the following Braita about the halacha of Zaken Mamreya. Zaken Mamreya is a member of the Beit Din, that after the Beit Din is voted a certain way, he nonetheless goes out and teaches his own position, which was outvoted, and instructs people to do that way. Mitzaan Zaken Mamrei Abbe Pagi V'himrale, and if the Sanhedrin somehow assembled outside of the place, and he rebelled, as it were. Yacholte Amrato Amra. I may think that rebellion counts, and he's Chayav Mita, etc. Tamulomar Vekam Tavalita Al Hamakom. You shall get up and go to the place where Hashem chooses and ask them the mishpat, etc. Melamed shemakom goyim. It shows you that the zaken mamre is a halacha dependent on place. It has to be when the Beit Din is sitting in its place, and then he does as amra, then he's chayav. Now, the issue of zaken mamre is not a problem. The problem is the mitziut. How could it be that the Sanhedrin left? Tanafu kama. Ilem adunafu miksata, and you think that a few of them left? Tanafta ika gavai. Maybe the ones who are still inside, which is the majority, agree with the Zaken Mamre. Maybe he's not a Zaken Mamre at all. Maybe he's representing the majority opinion. It must be that a majority or all of them left. Why did they leave? If they went out for some inconsequential or non-mitzvah matter, they're not allowed to leave. Aktiv shorech agan hasar al yechsar hamazeg. This pasuk, which literally means something akin to your stomach is like the like a crescent, because the Beit Din is allegorically associated with the Sanhedrin in Shir Hashirim, and it is they sit like a in a semicircle. Al yechsar hamazeg, meaning she nitzach achad mehem latzeit, that if one person has to leave, miyesham asumer shlosha keneged Sanhedrin, if there's at least 23, like a minor Sanhedrin, yotzei v'mav eni yotzei. Oh, he can only leave if there's still 23, meaning you can never leave the Sanhedrin during its working hours, during the day, bereft of at least the minimal Sanhedrin. So you're not allowed to leave. So that means that the majority of the Sanhedrin, which we said we had to have a majority out there, and they had voted one way and the Zaken disagreed with them, and for him to be a Zaken Mamre, he has to vote against the majority. So majority has to be outside, and they can't go outside unless it's the Dvar Mitzvah. El apshita the Dvar Mitzvah. Lamai, what's the Dvar Mitzvah that would allow the Sanhedrin to leave? Lav lum didat egla? It must be measuring for the egla. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov here. It must be follow Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, which proves that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov does not only disagree about the presence of the Melech and Kohen Gadol that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda did not necessitate. He must also claim that you need the entire Sanhedrin there. And thus, in his world, it's possible to have a Dvar Mitzvah, which would allow the Sanhedrin to leave, that would then set up that possible circumstance with the Zaken Mamre. So that was what Yosef said. Amar le Abaye lo, duma lo hosif al Erev al Azarot. Can it not? He hosif al Erev al Azarot, al Beit Din shel Shivim Ve'Echad. There is another thing which requires the entire Sanhedrin, requires them to leave the Lishkat HaGazit, and that is to expand the boundaries of either the Azarot, of the Beit HaMikdash, or of the city itself, Yerushalayim, which have halachic implications for Achilat Kodshim, Achilat Maaseh Sheni, etc., lots of other implications, adding on to the city is something that can only be done with the presence of the Sanhedrin. So therefore, there's another Dvar Mitzvah that they could all leave for, they would all leave for, which means that it's possible that there is no authority who would say that the whole Sanhedrin has to go out to measure. So Tanya Kvatera of Yosef, but we have a bright that supports of Yosef. Mitzaan, Abet, Page, Vimrale, and back to the Zaken Mamre. If the Sanhedrin found him outside, Beit Pagi, somewhere out in the Azara, and outside of the Azara, and he did his Hamra, Kigon, Shiatzulim, Dirat, Egla, Losif, Alair, Vial Hazarot, how would they go out? For instance, they'd gone out to measure for the Egla Rufa, or to add on to the city. So you see that in this brighta, leaving for measuring for the Egla Rufa is a Dvar Mitzvah. So therefore we say, the Hamra is not significant because it's not in that place. The place is what caused it to happen. And therefore, it's not a Hamra. But what we do see is an explicit Braita, which gives an example, the possibility that the entire Sanhedrin left for Medida, that obviously can't be Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yehuda, must be Rabbi Elazar Yaakov, and he not only maintains that you need Melech and Kohen, he maintains you need the entire Sanhedrin. Okay, the next Mishnah said, Nimtza Tamun Begalo Talui Beilan. We said that if he was buried, or hanging, or floating, there's no ceremony. Leimat Nitir Rabbi Yehuda Hivel Arbanon. So it sounds like our Mishnah follows Rabbi Yehuda. Tanya, in the mitzvah of Shichat HaOmer, when you make bundles in the field, and then you forget one of the bundles, you're not allowed to go back and get it. But it depends, of course, where you forgot it. Tanya, V'shachach HaOmer Masadeh Prat LeTamun. So that excludes something which is buried. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says if it's buried, that's not called on the field. And therefore it sounds like our Mishnah, which says if the dead man is found under a pile, it's not, there's no Egla Rufa, it's not called on the field. So no, v'shachachta over v'asadeh is there to include, and to expand and to include that which is buried for shikcha. Okay, so it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda is our Mishnah, who maintains that buried is not called in the field, it's under the field. Amarav filatim rabbanan. Now we could say that our Mishnah is even rabbanan. Hacha minyani dekra, hata minyani dekra. We read basadeh as being an expansion of the essential text. Dichtiv, himatzei chalal, in the context of Egla Rufa, it says if a corpse is found, meaning hechad mishtarkach, wherever it's found. Ba'adama, therefore, comes to limit pratlatamun. Hata minyani dekra. But over there, gamei shikcha, we're also following the text. Dichtiv, if you harvest in your field with shachachtom and you forgot a bundle, shikha, do me the katsir, so shikha is parallel to harvest. Ma katsir begalui, of shikha begalui. Just like harvesting is something that's out and seen and obvious, similarly the shikha has to be something that's out and obvious and not buried. Therefore, katarachman of sadel rabota tatamun. In other words, the text drives us in one direction, basadeh, chops that direction off. The direction that would be indicated by our case of the corpse indicates wherever he's found. Therefore, Basadeh says, no, underground doesn't count. In the case of the Shikcha, it seems to indicate Dafka when it's obvious and clear. Therefore, Basadeh is to tell you, no, even if it's buried underneath. So Rabbanan could still accept our ruling that a buried corpse doesn't count for Egla Rufa, does not generate Egla Rufa, while still maintaining their position in Shikcha, saying that a buried Omer is a forgotten Omer. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Nami Tepuklei Miru Shikcha Dumi LeKatzir. Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda accept that principle that Kitiktzor V'Shachachta, that for the forgotten Omer is similar to the harvest? Tainachinami. You're right. V'ala Basadeh Lamali. So then why is Basadeh mentioned in Shikcha? So Mibayilei L'Rabot Shikchat Kamat. To include, even if he forgot something that wasn't yet cut. The went and cut and cut and cut, and then he forgot one stalk, that's also shikha. So basadeh is there to tell me, even if it's still rooted in the field. Rabbanan shikhat kama menalahu. So where do Rabbanan get shikhat kama from? If they use ktsircha, v'shachachta, to tell me that it's bigalui. Nafklu miki tiktsor ktsircha basadecha. Say, when you harvest, you're harvest in the field, so we see that it's even something that's yet to be harvested. He needs that pasuk for this drasha. If the omarin kind of rolled over into the other person's field, then it's not shikha anymore. It's besadecha. Rabbanan mi basadeh besadecha. Rabbanan say, I agree with you, but I get that from the fact that it says besadecha. Besadeh is there to tell me that it has shikhat kama. Besadecha is there to tell me that it's only in your field it's forgetfulness. And this is often how these things end up. Huda says, I don't regard the difference between besadeh and besadecha as significant enough to make a drasha out of. Okay, now, bar Rabbi Yirmiya. Safu omarin, all that was an analysis of the machloket Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan about shikhat haomer. It didn't really affect our issue. What if Omarin came into his field, then what? Avir sadeh kesadeh dami. In other words, they're leaning over, they haven't rolled in. Do we say that the air of a field is like the field, like air rights? Olav kesadeh dami. So is it in your field or not? Amilav kana la papi, v'amilav kahana la rab zvid. Tivshat lemid rabbeho, omarov alazar, da'amar prad l'shat safu omarin l'toch sadeh chavero. After all, Rabbi Elazar said that if your omarin go over your friend's field, that's not shikcha anymore, which proves that the chaveroin, the tochsadeh hulo. But if it's in your own field, then it is shikcha. V'litamech l'tochsadeh chavero tzafu'in munachin lo. It's only if it leans over your friend's field. If it rolls in, it's not. But if it's sadeh chavaleka, it has to be in your field. If it's not in your field anymore, there's no shikcha. If it goes in your fellow's field, whether it's leaning over or whether it's actually in the field, right, then it's not shikcha. Why did they pick safu? Because that's the only way that it happens, that the wind kind of blows them in and blows them over. Okay, now, Toshma, Omer shechzik bo lo licho la'ir. This is a Mishnah in Peah. If you picked up an Omer to take it to the city for sale, And you put it on top of another Omer, Ushchacho. And you forgot both of them. Hatachton Shikcha, the one underneath is Shikcha, even though it's buried. Valyon Eno Shikcha, the one on top is not Shikcha. Shimon Yura Omer, Shimon Shimon, Shnehem Enam Shikcha. Neither one of them is Shikcha. Why? Tachton Meshu Tamun. The lower one is buried. That's not Shikcha. Vahilyon Meshu Tzaf. The upper one is not because it is like floating. Ad kan lo pligi ela betachton. Their only disagreement is about the lower one. Everybody agrees that the top one is not, which means if it's floating, if it's on top of something, it's not shikcha. So shani hatam kim an achzik bezochabe. Now that's a different story because there, since you picked it up to take it to the city, it already became yours. It can't be taken away from you, given to the anim, if you already made that sort of kinyan on it. So yachim ayir yagbechaver. Then why do you have to pick a case where you put it on top of another bundle? If you picked it up and just put it down the field, it should be out of the range of shikcha. So in Achinami, you're right. The reason they talked about the case where you put it on another bundle is to specifically relate to the lower bundle as a buried bundle. Neshut saf kamar, but Rav Shimon Yehuda said that the upper one is his because it's floating, not because he already picked it up. So emem neshu kitsaf. No, because it's like something that's floating, meaning just like something like that is out of the range of shikcha. Similarly, this one, which you already picked up to take, is out of the range of shikcha. Rabbi, Harenik ben Azai Meshukei Tveria. Rabbi announced, I'm like Ben Azai here, Ben Azai, who would stand in the marketplace of Tveria and take any question. Oh, go ahead, throw anything at me. So one of the students asked him, and this is where this whole discussion of shikcha is bringing us. What if there are two corpses, one on top of the other? Where do you measure from? In other words, do you measure from whatever spot, and we're going to see this in the next podcast, but whatever spot you consider this to be the spot on the corpse where you measure from, which corpse do you measure from, the higher one or the lower one? Min b'mino habe tamun, umin b'mino lo habe tzaf, umi alion modeid. Do we say that when there are two things of the same kind, the lower one is considered buried, but the upper one is not considered to be floating, and therefore the only one that here that really counts is the upper one, and therefore you measure from the upper one? That's the opposite. Maybe one type of thing on the other is the top one is considered floating, but the lower one is not considered buried, and therefore the lower one is the only one that's in the Parsha Regla Rufa, and you measure from there. Maybe both cases don't count because one type of thing on top of its own type of thing, the lower is considered buried, the top is considered floating, and you don't measure at all. Of course, he left out one other possibility, which is that it's neither tamu nor tzaf, in which case you got to decide which one you're going to measure from. So amarle tinituha. So he answered, or why he said, it's, I can answer you from the Mishnah Peah. Remember, these are all things of two bundles of wheat, or two bundles of whatever it is, but probably wheat. So that means that, according to Rabbi Shimon at least, neither one of these metim would count for egla rufa. We're assuming, as the beginning of our Gemara went, that we parallel shikcha with eglarufa. So we assume that these tanoim both agree with Rabbi Yehuda, de'amar b'sadeh prat l'tamun, who says that tamun doesn't count for omer, and therefore it's going to be parallel to the case of eglarufa, and therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, neither top nor bottom mate will count, and according to Tanakama there, the bottom one will count, but not the top. And maybe that's the machloket, whether you say that one thing on top of another of its own kind, the bottom one is buried, and the other one says it's not. And therefore, the question is whether the bottom one counts. Everyone agrees the top one does not count. Lo, ik Rabbi Yehuda sfira lehu, if both tanoim held like Rabbi Yehuda, everybody would agree that the buried one doesn't count, even though it's of its own kind. They're disagreeing about that machloket. The Tanakama about Shikcha agrees with the Rabbanan. Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. So, in other words, the Rabbanan in the case of the Shikcha, who says that the lower one is considered Shikcha because it's not considered Tamun, That's because they agree with the Rabbanan, who say that that shikcha is that tamun is just not an issue in shikcha. It's minu could be tamun, but that doesn't matter. And Rav Shimon Yehuda, who says that the lower one doesn't count, he says, yeah, it's tamun, and tamun is potter in the field, like Rav Yehuda. So So then why do you have to have one bundle on top of another? Why can't you have a bundle underneath dirt? So you're right. But is there, it's really Rav Yehuda's position. Rav Yehuda is willing to say, not only if you have a bundle of wheat buried underneath dirt, it is potter. Even if it's buried underneath another bundle of wheat, it's potter. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, back to the Egla Rufa. The Pasuk says, Chalal, in the drushes, v'lo chanuk. He has to be someone who was slaughtered, as it were, and not someone who was choked. Chalal, v'lo mefarper. He has to be fully dead and not still spastically moving. Ba'adama, why ba'adama? V'lo tamun bagal, and not buried. Nofel, volotolui ba'ilan, like our Mishnah said. Vasadev, volotzaf menemayim. Those all three were in the Mishnah, about being in the tree or being on water. Rabbi Elazar mer bechulani, mayach halal orfin. Rabbi Elazar disagrees with all of that and says, as long as he is a corpse, then we do the ceremony. Tanami Yosef Yehuda, Amarlo Rabbi Elazar, Amarlo Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda reports that they told Rabbi Elazar, Iyatamudashi mayach chanuk. Don't you agree that if he was choked and he was thrown on a dung heap, that you don't do the Egla Rufa? So Amal Chalal V'lo Chanuk. So, and Rabbi Elazar does agree with that. Therefore, you agree that he has to be stabbed or bladed and not choked. So Chanami Ba'adama V'lo Tamun Bagal. So just accept the rest of the drasha, which is Ba'adama and not buried. Nofel V'lo Tlebiban V'sadev V'lo Tzavavim Yemayim. The word halal appears twice in the parsha, and the second one is there to tell you it really does have to be somebody who was stabbed by iron and not somebody who was choked or died some other way. However, the other things, I don't accept the drasha about dama, basadeh, doesn't tell me that it can't be underground or floating. Okay, the Mishnah then said, Nimsa samuch lisfar li'ir shubrav de kochavim, right? Dichtiv ki matzei patla matzui. Here's the drasha. The pasuk says ki matzei. If it should be found, as if something unusual, as opposed to something that's commonly found out near the border, you do find such things. Lishen ba'beitin, and you don't, and evidently near the cities of the pagans that they're referring to, you would often find dead bodies. And the ir shein ba'beitin, the Mishnah said, the ve'in zikne ha'ir v'leika. If it's found next to a city, it doesn't have a beit din, then you can't do it because it says the elders of the city have to come out. You don't have such a thing. No, in modin elo le'ir she'ish ba'beit din, you only measure to cities that have a beit din. Meaning, when they come out to measure, they find which is the closest city with a beit din, that to which this happened. Pshita, came into tana le'ir she'in ba'beit din, since we said that we don't measure to a city that doesn't have a beit din. So obviously you measure to the city of the beit din. It's there to teach me the following lesson. How do I know that if it's found right next to a city that doesn't have a beit din, I don't say, oh, it's in that city, and therefore there's no egla. I measure to the closest city, which may be much further away, where there's a beit din. Therefore it says the elders of that city, meaning wherever that city is, the closest city that has a beit din. Okay, the next Mishnah, which is the end of Bet, and then Gimel and Dalet all together. We will do this relatively quickly. You see the very small bit of Gemara on this. Nimtza mechuvam din shtei arot. Let's say they measure and they find that the mate is exactly between two cities. Shtehen mevi'ot shtei agalot. Then there's two ceremonies. Meaning at the same spot, but two ceremonies. The very Rabbi Eliezer. We'll see why. Ve'en Yerushalayim v'i'ai egla rufa. Yerushalayim does not participate in this. Nimtza rosho b'makom echad v'gufo b'makom acher. Let's say that the head and the body are not found in the same place. From where do you measure? Malachina roshe tzal haguf, divrei Rabbi Elazar. Elazar says that the body remains where it is and the head is brought next to it. Kivo mer haguf tzal rosh is the opposite. You leave the head where it is, you bring the body to there. Now the last mission of these, this set, is Miayin HaYumodadin. Where would they measure from? Rabbi Elazar Omer Mitiburo, you measure from the navel. Rabbi Kiva Omer Michotmo, from the nose. Rabbi Yaakov Omer Mikom Shenasah Halal Mitzavaro, from the place where he became a halal, which for some reason we assume is the neck, that he wasn't hit in the torso, but rather bladed in the neck. Okay, now first thing is my type of Rabbi Elazar. Why does Rabbi Elazar say that if it's right in between two talons, you bring two? Kesavar of Charlotte, I'm saying, the first thing is that he holds, and this is a discussion in Bechorot and several other places, whether or not it's possible to have an exact middle, an exact point that you could point to. And he says, since he holds that it is possible, and therefore you could really have a point that's exactly between the two cities, and therefore Ukrovan, where it says, Ha'ir HaKrovah, Filu Krovot, he's willing to say it doesn't have to be just the closest city, the closest cities. Shalom v'yagla rufa, why? Damar kra l'rishta, because the text says, when Hashem brings you to the land, the parsha v'yagla rufa is introduced, Hashem brings you to the land that he gave you to inherit. Ukasari shalom l'nchaka l'shvatim. And this Tana holds at Yerushalayim, it's Machloka Tanaim, that Yerushalayim was not divided by Shvatim, it doesn't belong to any Shevet. That has big implications for Bayit Menugah, whether there can be Bayit Menugah in Nigei Batim in Yerushalayim. Alright, Yitzal Rosho B'makom Achad. So now the next Mishnah said that if the head and the body aren't in the same place, which goes where? Which goes to which? What's the disagreement about? If they're really disagreeing about where you measure from, in the next Mishnah, which we read, where do you measure from? So the earlier Mishnah, Gimel, must not be talking about measuring. So talking about something else. Because the next Mishnah, Dalet, says, where do you measure from? As if that's a new topic. The machloket or Belozer Akiva is not about measuring. It's about a different issue, which is a mate mitzvah. Where does he acquire his place where he's buried? You bury him on the spot, and he acquires that place. But if the head and body are not in the same place, Blazer says that you bring the head next to the body. But Kiva says the opposite. My coming palgi, what's the disagreement about? Rabbi Elazar says, when the person was killed, his body fell where it was. Reisha did not even afil. The head must have rolled away. Umar Sava Reisha echad nafil nafil. Rabbi Kiva says the head fell where he died. Gufa hu derahit vazil. And the body sort of continued moving a little bit, and that's why it's a distance. So really the machloket simply is about what I can do, a sort of forensic discussion about what's my best estimate of where the death actually took place. Is it where the head is or where the body is? Okay, may I in how you mow the din? So it says, where do you measure from? Mike can be palgi. What's the disagreement about? From the navel, from the nose, from the neck? Mar savar ikar chayuta ba'ape. So Rabbi Kiva must hold that your main life comes from your nose, through the nostrils, breathing. And mar savar ikar chayuta b'tibure. Your main life is in your torso, in your belly button. So lema kehani tanai, perhaps that's the same machloket that we have here. Mehechan avlad notzar. Where is it that the beginning of gestation, the embryo is formed? Me rosho. This is two psukim linked together, one in Tehillim, one in Yirmiyahu. In Tehillim it says, from my mother's womb you are gozi, whatever that may mean here, and in Yirmiyahu it says gozi nizrech, which is referring to your crown. So that means that it's the cut, but first of the crowns, it means that the first thing that happened in my mother's stomach was the creation of the head. He says, no, the first thing that's created for the baby is the umphalos, the navel, and then he grows out. So perhaps that's the same machloket. The answer is no. Even Abba Shaul would agree that you don't necessarily measure from the belly button, because he's just making his point about creation of a baby. Because he's created from his middle point. Everybody will agree that your main source of life comes through your nostrils. Because who's wiped out in the flood? Everything that has the spirit of life in its nostrils. Okay, Rabbi Yaakov gave the third opinion, that you measure from the neck, the place where you're bladed. What's his reason? So the text explicitly in Yechezkel associates the neck with a halal. And so therefore, the the prototypically, a halal is someone who has had his neck slashed, and therefore when the Torah says halals, is it referring, even if that's not the particular case, and it's unclear what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would do in a case where someone was killed with a stab wound in the chest. But the assumption here is that in any case, he would say that you measure from the neck, which is sort of officially defined as the place where a halal's death happens, and that's where he's measured from. Okay, we will continue and see the process that happens of the actual ceremony of the Agla Rufa in the next podcast. Mirtz Hashem, in the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.